Super awkward fun cast. You're listening to the super awkward fun cast. Yeah.
Welcome to the super awkward fun cast. This is the 18th episode of the show that goes
legal.
By so fast.
Legal.
It's, we've been doing legal. This for like, what, 4 years? That's hilarious. I'm really lazy.
Well, that's good. You made it to 18. Now your job as a parent. Now your child can...
Now we can go to war.
have sex and go have some more children.
Now we're Afghanistan, basically.
we are Afghanistan. You're right.
Shout out to Afghanistan.
We grow all the opium poppies
I
right
feel
here.
For you. I really do. No more war. And don't hit the table, please. This is my guest, Steven Robles. He's back.
Hi.
Your favorites. L and Steven.
That's right.
One-on-one.
It's actually not L and S. It's E and S. Actually, it's J and S. But we won't go there.
Okay. Everyone knows my real name is Jennifer. It's not a secret. It's on my IMDb.
I'm going to call you Jen. It's going to be your name for me.
It literally says Jennifer Elizabeth Latham. If you want to dox me, it's too late. I already did it. All right. Anyway, so the Oscars happened. I guess we should talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't really care. There wasn't anything.
A lot of people didn't care. Yeah. It was the lowest rated Oscars telecast.
Well, that's what happens when you socialize everything. Mm. You know, nobody really. I understand the value of more women in Hollywood. I'm all for that. I mean, all the sets I'm on are like 60% women. So I don't know what they're talking about, but. Anyway, you know,
I always have a lot of women myself.
Me too. I always have a lot of women, and my bosses at Fox, my top three bosses were all women. You know, I really don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about women that feel they should get more and don't have more, so they start complaining about shit. And like, well, that guy's a director. I'm like, yeah, but he's been working in the business for 30 years. What have you been doing? You know, so that's what I felt about the Oscars. You know, you had a few experienced directors, you had a few first time directors, and then you had one guy, the guy who won, Guillermo del Toro. Who is a genius, and you know, the way I described his movie is you see his genius without an ounce of hubris. And I believe that the other experienced contenders in the category had a little bit of hubris to what they were doing, a little bit of auteurism. And then, you know, Lady Bird and the other guy, you know, they're first timers. Like, what do you want? Like, you're not going to win off the bat. Coming in your first
time. The other
time.
Guy, Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Which I liked his movie. I didn't see Lady Bird. It appealed zero to me. But but Get Out was a good movie. It was an Oscar movie? Not really. I mean, even the screenwriting wasn't that great. But it's good. You know, it was a good first effort. And you should be rewarded for that. He was. Indie Spirit Awards, right? So he was rewarded for that.
Yeah.
But an Oscar?
He won Best Original Screenplay.
A bone. They threw him a bone. But, you know, because Guillermo should have won for everything. So,
yeah.
Because that movie was brilliant and perfect for the time. You know, it was it was a good
And I also love about that movie is that it was like a unifying kind of film. It got everybody to be on board. And I really like, especially at a Cold War kind of second war, Cold War era of McCarthyism and everything in the media, I really like to see the pro. The pro-Russian kind of very subtle, but like it seemed to be saying something about.
It's saying the theme of that whole movie is loneliness and longing.
Pro people. It's a pro people.
It's movie. Pro. It's pro socialism, but not in the political rhetoric, but in sociability. So everybody needs somebody. Everybody has to have somebody. And if you don't have somebody, in the lessons of this movie, part of you is missing. And you know, so everybody in this movie is longing for something and not getting it. So, you know, I mean, the most tragic figure in the movie is Michael Shannon, I think. You know, because he has everything that he needs.
Yes.
He has everything he needs: wife, good home, good job, family, but nothing that he wants.
Yes. You know, and that's so, exactly right.
Right.
Yes.
So they have the Russian doctor who wants to. You know, he's sort of the mad scientist, right? So he wants to explore science. At any cost. It doesn't matter who he's working for. He just wants to see the results of his work.
That's, yeah, it's the work before
right.
the mission, like whoever I'm right. supposed to be.
And so Fishman is...
Loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty, but also work familial connection, right? The Fishman is basically his child.
Exactly.
Or his brother, maybe, you know? And so he's into that. He wants to see that to conclusion. He has no interest in the politics of it.
Yeah,
which I think is a good lesson for people now
yeah.
in the entertainment business to realize that politics are going to destroy the art that they're creating.
Yes.
Or it's already destroying the art they're creating. And, you know, the Jordan Peele thing is an example of that. You know, style over substance. And it's a great movie. Again, great movie. No problem with it. Didn't find all that scary, but it was, you know, it's good. But I think he's going to make several good movies before he gets his Oscar, if he does.
Yeah.
You know, and Steven Spielberg, again, hubris. Like, I'm going to put this movie up. It's going to be big and great. Oscar bait all the way. Like, you got all these people.
Yes.
Tom Hanks doing a character, which is really weird. But I actually didn't see that movie. I just never made it.
I'm not ever going to see it, probably.
No, I love movies about journalism. I movies like that.
I just don't like movies made from people who are now part of the problem.
Well, I don't think Spielberg's part of the problem. I think he's far from the problem.
Not Spielberg himself, but the producing
people. Oh, I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me. So like I said, the politics don't bother me. Like, the politics of entertainment are one thing, but the politics of the United States are a different thing. And I don't care what they're doing. Like, none of this Trump stuff bothers me. I don't care about any of it. I care about zero. It's the show.
We're different.
Well, because you want to be involved in that. You want to care about it. I don't, because I realize that it's all a show. It's all the World Wrestling Federation. That's what's
happening.
Well,
I know it's a show too.
So I just choose to ignore it. In 4 years, we're going to have another president. Everything's going to be reversed. The other side's going to be mad. It's all going to be stupid shit.
And then in 20 years, we'll love Trump. Everybody will love Trump. Well, they'll look back and
be like,
Bush.
Oh, yeah, he'll be painting shit and like painting an elephant. Be like, look at my sad clown. It'll be like,
you know, Hitler was a painter too, just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And Hitler's a whole other thing. But but I think the politics now, the show of the presidential politics, is just a distraction.
It is.
Well, but I also think that the stuff they're doing needs to get done. So, you know, there are things that have to get done that only a villain can do. And that's what Trump is doing. He's playing the heel, right? His best friend in the world is Vince McMahon from Royal Wrestling Federation, and Howard Stern, right? The two biggest trolls on the planet. Like, those guys know how to manipulate the media, and they know how to manipulate public sentiment to make it work. And Vince knows in the wrestling world that the heel is the most attractive character because everybody hates the heel. But at some point, they do what's called a turn, right? From heel to babyface, which is babyface is a good guy in wrestling and heel is a bad guy. So Trump right now is the biggest heel because he's got to be.
Is he going to achieve a peace in North Korea with the U.S.?
I think he might. Long-lasting. I think he might create an economic peace. He knows
with them.
But he knows money. Like, that's his language. He doesn't like. When I was in the hospital for a week, right? And I'm watching Fox News, and because it's the one that was on, and they had this guy come on. He's not really a pro Trump pundit, but he fancies himself like sort of middle of the road guy. And they're talking about Puerto Rico at the time, and they're saying, "Well, he's showing no empathy." He's like, "We didn't hire this guy to be empathic. We didn't hire an empathic president." That's not what we wanted. We got that the last time. We hired a guy who's going to get job done. We didn't hire a guy who's going to have feelings and emotions. That's not why we hired this guy. We hired this guy to get the job done, right? So he's like, and he's trying to get the job done. They had the director of FEMA on there talking about what they were trying to do, showing all the photographs and trying to explain this stuff. And I'm like, well, this is a very well-reasoned argument. There was no anger in it. And even though when the FEMA director was on, he was the acting FEMA director, you know, he looked so tired, like his staff behind him looked so exhausted. And the reporter was like trying to poke him, right? Poke him about this Trump stuff. You know, and I got a new understanding of that, you know, of how the media manipulates things. This reporter was really poking this guy to like be anti-Trump. He's like, I'm not gonna do it. He's like, I don't have time for that. Do you see what we're doing? You see the picture, you see the same pictures I do. Puerto Rico is destroyed. The whole country is destroyed.
Yes.
You can't go in 3 days and fix this thing. He's like, what about the ship sitting in the port? You know, he could have put him in there last week. He's like, last week there was another hurricane. He's like, we brought him in the first hurricane. We kept him offshore. Another hurricane came through. And now we have to wait for them to come onto land, right?
I think there's a lot of simplistic statements out there from the Democratic elites and the people who know that they're saying stupid shit, but they want you to believe it.
Well,
and that's a problem on both sides where there's solutions stated that aren't really solutions.
Right. And I think the problem is too, if you look at someone like Maxine Waters, for example.
Oh my God.
You know, and I'm not pro Trump. I'm not pro anything. I look at what I'm looking at and I say we have a president in the office right now that's the president. Same thing when Bill Clinton was in the office, the whole Monica Lewinsky thing came up. And I voted for that guy, I stumped for him, I campaigned for him, I got an award for campaigning for him. I liked him at the time. And I was doing the same thing the Democrats were doing. I was saying, look, I don't care if he got his dick sucked in the Oval Office. I don't care. I don't care. It's not about that. It's not about his character. And the Democrats are saying the same thing. It's not about his character. It's about how he is presidential, how he is doing his job. And now it's like suddenly all these people become these super prudes. Be like, oh, well, he had a porn star relationship with his pregnant wife. I'm like, yeah, so no guy ever fucks another woman while his wife is pregnant. Like, it never happens in the whole world. The guy's a human being. He's not a politician. And he's not trying to hide his tracks.
Also, Gandhi was a philanderer.
Gandhi, MLK, all of them. They all couldn't keep their dick in their pants. But I think that's what...
It's not something we should be focusing
on. No, because I think that's... actually, and this is kind
of distraction. Sick.
But it's also indicative of a powerful male leader, is that he wants to fuck everything, right? His dick is going to power his manlyhood, right? He's going to be a male leader. Like, that's what alpha male. That's what they are. They want to fuck everything.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't have a problem with fucking. Like, I don't problem with that. Like, everybody got here by fucking. Like, who cares? But suddenly everybody I know, comedians.
It's puritanical, right?
Right.
Now.
But suddenly comedians are so prudish, right? So Louis C.K. whips his dick out. Oh my God. What a horrible man.
He has no career now.
You know how many comics that, you know how many comics that I know, male comics, that make their living putting their dicks out on stage? Like, so many. Like, there's so many male comics I know that can't handle keeping their clothes on stage. They think it's the funniest thing ever to show their ass. And so they do it under the cover of comedy or the stage. But they're still the same kind of perverted person that Louis C.K. is. But Louis C.K. is just he's a weird guy.
Also, there are actual pedophiles who have been convicted who work in Hollywood today.
Yeah, Bryan Singer.
And nobody gives a shit. You know? Bryan Peck, another one. Like, a bunch of dudes.
So many.
And Nickelodeon, Disney, all
your
favorites.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and the way I look at it, though, it's kind of, an odd angle to look at it, but I look at it, that's the way the machine's been running since the 1900s, right? It's just been running that way. You have these producers taking advantage of nubile young starlets, because the starlets have nothing else. They have no brains. They have only looks. So they have only their bodies to go on. So they give it up to try to get the jobs. And that's just the way it's been working. Because the girls that come into acting, I'm missing all of them. But a lot of them are very beautiful. But they've had to get by on their looks their whole lives.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer Lawrence is talented. Like, she has talent, too.
She is. But she started off on the Bill Engvall show.
Well, Bill Engvall's... I met him. He's cool.
He's cool, yeah. It's a good show.
And he probably took care of her. Good didn't, show. They didn't hurt her, you know.
Oh, I didn't say that.
And she did, you know, and she's good. Winner's Bone. She's amazing, right? So she had talent. She recognized that John Travolta did the same thing. They both dropped out of high school in their sophomore year and went into acting. You know, Alicia Silverstone, another one that dropped out of high school. Christina Applegate, another one dropped out of high school. So I have all these mostly female stars and one male star, John Travolta, who drops out of high school and goes into acting because they have the talent, you know. So, and so the system works and system works. And now people are exposing it because women aren't as stupid anymore. They can have brains and beauty now because there's more opportunities open to them growing up. And they're not all coming from the Midwest, you know, Norma Jean Bakers coming out of nowhere trying to make it on their looks. You know, that's not the way it is. And there are factions in the female side that hate those pretty girls. And there's factions that hate those ugly girls.
And people don't really talk about that as much. They really want to make it a male patriarchy kind of situation. Yeah. When females have been worse to each other than any male in my life. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've seen it. Like,
because I'm surprised I don't see a lot of these girls coming out against sororities in college. Because sororities are the ultimate bullshit pits.
Oh my gosh.
But a lot of these girls that are out there in front of the hashtag MeToo thing, they're all in sororities in college.
Yeah.
They all took advantage
of that. They were mean girls.
They were mean girls. And I know a lot of them, a lot of these Me Too girls are mean girls. And they're mean to men. And they parse out their delights, you know. But but I know a lot of them, too, weren't above using their sexuality to get a job. And I don't look down on people like that. You know, if I was a handsome man, I was like a handsome, chiseled guy. Fuck, man.
You know, victimization of yourself when you put yourself in that situation.
Or don't say, I have all this stuff, but oh my God, I regret how I got it. Well, then give it up. Give it all up. Give it all back. You're not going to do that, right? So, you know, and I think there's advantage of taking of men too. You know, I know plenty of gay actors coming up that have had to suck dick or taken up the ass for a part.
Brad Pitt.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know him, but
I mean, but allegedly.
I do know actors that had to do that. And, the men aren't as scarred as the women. And I do believe that women get a little more scarred than men. That's just how I think. But, and I don't think anybody should be taken advantage of. But I feel if you want to be taken advantage of and the reward is worth your risk, that's your choice. But stick to your choice. Stick to your thing.
Don't change the story.
Right. Like Pamela Anderson, right? Like she had a great interview with I don't want to say Megyn Kelly, maybe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and she had a great interview. She's like, you know, don't go to the hotel room with somebody else. Yeah. I always had someone go with me. You know, don't be an idiot. Like, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to get raped. You know, and people who is victim blame. Like, no, it's just, like, I'm a photographer, as you know.
Yeah.
And I travel at night a lot. and I keep my camera tucked behind me so no one sees it. I don't carry a bag because I don't want anybody to see a camera bag. Because if they see a camera bag, they're going to come over immediately. So I have the camera, tuck it back. Now, should I have to do that? Should I just be able to carry my camera out in the open?
Yeah, in absolutely. A perfect world.
I should be able to do that. I can't because I'm not an idiot. So I know if I put it out there, someone's going to come and try to take it. Or they're going to come over and accost me. Like, I know that. So don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be a victim. And if you feel like you might be, bring someone with you. Bring some protection. Be ready to walk out the door.
Don't trust the... Okay, so in some of these situations, Harvey Weinstein had an assistant, most of them, who helped cover for him. Like,
yeah,
basically, yeah, she was the lure. So if you're in that situation, don't just trust whoever you see at the office, in his office. Just bring somebody of your own who can vouch for you.
Right. Or set
protect
it on
yourself.
Your own terms.
Yes.
Be like, I'm not going to meet you in a hotel room. Let's meet in a bar downstairs.
Yes.
You know, or we'll meet in a restaurant.
In public.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know. We kind of got off topic there, but it comes to the Oscars.
Yes.
Well,
it goes back to that because bringing it up.
But, and I think it's because the ratings were low as a result of that because no one wants to see pontificating. They want to see movie stars.
We're
and glamour
sick
and
of
fun.
This shit. Right. Like, let's fix the problems. Let's stop talking about shit and start doing something about it.
Well, yeah, and it's like, and going back...
This is neoliberalism in a nutshell.
Well, it's not even neoliberalism. It's just, it's human nature out of control at the moment. You know, and why are we taking the time to go back and look 25 years to get these guys? Acknowledge it happened, deal with it, start now, and
mm-hmm.
fix it now. If you're going to keep going back 20 years, you're going to hold everything back, you know. And Harvey Weinstein, for all his fucking weird faults, was brilliant at what he did. You know, so you're still taking that...
A lot of these people are talented.
Right, and you're taking that artistic heart out of this business and putting it in the hands of people that don't know what they're doing. So we're going to have maybe a decade of time where there's a lot of inexperienced entertainment going on and a lot of things happening where things are going to be as great as they were. Are they going to be different? Are they going to be punctuated with this political stuff? And I don't have a problem with it. There's art is room for everything. Art has room for every
yes.
sort of philosophy, but... If you want ratings, you have to balance it out.
And you can't
with public
be
opinion.
Divisive. Like, oh my gosh. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, say all this stuff that I know that half of the audience is going to disagree with.
Yeah,
and then expect everyone to love me. Like, that's...
They don't care about that. They just, they're talking about the half of the audience that does agree with them. And I think, again, why these Oscars were so low rated is that... They don't realize that what's happening on the West Coast and the East Coast is not what's happening in the middle of the country.
Exactly. That's
not.
What I'm trying to
And
get.
they can post all
like
the rallies.
When are they
going
to talk about Flint again is what I want to know.
Well, there's a documentary now on Flint
yes.
on Netflix. This isn't about the water crisis, but it has, incidentally, it's about that. But it's more
yeah.
about the police force and the
that.
Public unrest there. But that doesn't matter to them because that's not a sexy thing, right?
I know.
Nobody cares about things until sex is involved.
It's
that's
scandal.
Everybody
scandal
loves
will always... When?
Fucking. They want to know who's fucking who and how are they fucking them and what are they fucking them with. And, you know, they want to know all this stuff. But people are so afraid to say, oh, yeah, I enjoy nudity. I enjoy fucking. I enjoy talking about these things. Or,
yeah.
you know, I enjoy rough sex porn. You know, like.
And that's when it gets repressed and then it becomes this big issue.
Well, everybody becomes afraid, right?
Yeah.
So before, I think, you know, my mom is really upset about Trump. Like, she really hates the fact that he's around. And I try to calm her down. I'd be like, he's only going to be around for a few years. Like, just deal with it. You know, when he leaves, you know, maybe, I mean, I honestly think he'd get a second term right now. I think it could happen for him. I think it's a Democratic.
Yeah, right now.
A Democratic nominee.
For sure.
I don't think they're going to find him in 2 years. I don't think they're going to find him. But.
He'd have to resign at this point.
Well, he's not. Because there's no reason for it. He isn't paying.
I know,
response,
but like,
right? So,
I'm just saying, like, they would have to find a reason. You know, the people behind the scenes.
They're trying. And it's like this porn star thing is like a stupid thing.
But it would have to be something he would agree with. Then they have a deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. Behind closed doors, they have deals. And they have like parties and shit.
And I'm sure they've had those stuff already with him. He's a smart guy. Like people think he's a moron because the media portrays him that way.
You can't get as far as that person has gotten
without being very, very
smart
about money, especially in business and how to deal with people. You know, having been through a few corporate takeovers in my time, he's doing exactly what a person comes in when they take over a corporation. Exactly the same thing. Create misdirection, create confusion, get your job done while everybody's trying to figure out what to do and where they're going to land. You do your job.
And then it's the whole thing is like, I hear people saying shit. He woke them up, basically. So all this shit has been happening for 8+ years in terms of like deportations and war and all of this shit through through Obama.
And the whistleblower thing.
Right,
and the United States being taken advantage of economically from everybody around the world.
Attacking of the press, which Obama did on a daily basis.
Hillary Clinton didn't allow the press corps at all on her campaign tour.
Exactly.
Didn't allow them in.
Didn't get any...
Right. So, yeah. But I look at Trump. Now let's assume everything that Trump is doing is on the level.
I have more to say.
Okay. I know what you're, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But imagine that way everything Trump is doing is exactly as you see. Okay. This evil mastermind. But what's happening as a result of that, as you were saying, people are waking up, right? People are coming to an agreement. I was saying my mom, she's like, oh, I hate this that he's enabling all these people to come out of the woodwork and be assholes,
gosh.
Right?
I said, but.
Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly what I told her. I said, you know what they were doing before? Hiding in their basements, plotting to kill people. I was like, now they're on the surface. So yeah, it's terrible. When you have a wound and it gets infected, the only way to get it healed is for pus to come out and grossness to happen on your wound. I was like, so that's all that's happening.
That's how you treat it.
As a result of Trump, the wound is being squeezed and all of this grossness is coming out to the surface where we can see it and deal with it. I was like, so at least that's happening, right? At least, like, he pulls out of the Paris Accords. On the surface, that seems like a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
But his reasoning was correct, and Bernie had the same reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ripped off. We're paying the lion's share of this money. We're getting none of it back. We're paying for China to upgrade
its
shit.
Doing anything.
Right, and like, you know, they're like, oh, well, Syria's on board with the peace agreement, with the Paris Accords, right? It's like, yeah, because they're going to get $3 billion for it. China's, they're like, well, look at China, all the stuff China's doing with our money. I was like, so he was right to pull out of that. Bernie would have done the same thing. He said he was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out of that thing and say, okay, let's renegotiate this deal so the United States isn't shouldering the lion's share of the burden here. Every country's got to pay for it, right? Everybody's got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And people, but that's not the way they spin the media, right? So everybody's like lapping up all this bullshit. And Trump knows it. He comes out and says, maybe I could be president for life someday, right? Just to throw the treat out there. And all the little kitty cats are jumping on that shit.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, Trump. I have a friend that does that all the time. Did you see what he said today? I'm like, no, because I don't pay fucking attention to what he's saying. I don't care. It's what
people
he
say.
Does that
I care what they do. Yes.
Right. It's like, you know, he's like, well, he's in collusion with the Russians. I'm like, well, maybe he's trying to keep us from going to war with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's how you do. You make treaties.
Maybe we could try that this time.
And I saw a headline yesterday from a liberal thing. Why use back channels when you can just walk right up to the front door of Putin's? I'm like, so what you're saying then, liberal press, is that using back channels behind the backs of the public is okay. Like, that's how they should do it, right? You shouldn't go up to Putin's front door and say, hey, let's talk. Or, hey, let's work this out. Or, hey, I'll help you lift these sanctions if you shoulder some of the burden in Syria.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see, like, that reminds me of the Maddow, Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow went crazy. Well,
you mean the liberal Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, she is insane. But she's doing her job, and she's getting paid very well.
She's getting her ratings to her network.
Yeah, $30,000 a day to say this shit. She was saying how no president has ever met with Kim Jong-un. And, you know, maybe this should mean something. Maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe that means you're putting yourself at risk, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, maybe that means nobody's actually given a shit enough to try and talk peacefully with somebody.
Because he's an easy villain to exploit over there.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that calling his bluff all these times with his nukes and these missiles and whatever he's got over there has really, like, worn him down. Because he doesn't have all this stuff. His country's not ready to go to war. His country isn't going to nuke anybody. Because if he nukes somebody, they're going to fucking kick the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And I think that above all, he wants to stay in control of his country. Even if it means that he has to capitulate a little bit and be like, okay, fine, bring the South Koreans in here.
And it's embarrassing probably for him to have South Korea and North Korea talking behind his back.
Right, and China and Japan and the United States and Europe and everybody thinks he's an asshole.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it's why not forge an alliance with those guys? You know, why not open them up to China's market and stop China from exploiting everybody else and just work with the North Koreans and
the
South Koreans.
Dude, I think Trump is like bringing Korea back together. It's pretty amazing.
It's weird. And what's funny is I paid close attention to him in his campaign because I was like, where's this guy coming from? And all the stuff he said he was going to do, he's doing it. He's doing
all
of it.
I mean, yeah, you got to like... The wall is probably going to take a minute.
Well, the wall was just a MacGuffin, but like a distraction here, right? It's just a thing happening here.
It's a fear tactic.
It's a fear tactic, but it's also to Mexico going, look, we're serious.
Yeah.
If you don't clean up your act and start getting your own economy working, we're not going to carry you anymore. And we'll physically block you from coming to this country if you can't get your shit together. And Mexico, I love them. I love the Mexican leaders because they're always so fiery. And it's like, you know, he's like, oh, we're never going to bend, no, hold Trump. We're never going to pay for this shit. It's like, fine, then you descend into turmoil. We're going to build this wall so the invading armies that come and take your shit can't come take our shit. You know. But, you know, again, I'm not a pro-Trump guy. And what's funny is talking about this stuff with people like, oh, you must be a Trump supporter. I'm like, that's the new communist, right? That's your new commie. Yeah. Is you're a Trump supporter. I'm like, no, I'm not. I support my president.
You're either a Trump supporter or a cuck these days. Right, not really much in the middle. Well, cuck or soy boy. That's a new one.
Oh, soy boy.
But I say, hey, I take offense. I like soy.
I like soy. I like it's not necessarily cream cheese or anything.
That brings me to like the censorship that's going on as a result of these people coming out and speaking about their ideology, which mm-hmm. is what it is. Let's be honest. They have a different ideology than you do. Yeah. They don't believe in the same kind of feminism that you do. So you want to go after them. I mean, they don't believe in fascist feminism, which is what abounds nowadays. Is like, I'm right, you're wrong. That's the new leftist mentality. Like, it's becoming so far to the left that it's going right.
Yeah.
Right to the right to fascism. Right. And now I have people who are on Twitter that I converse with sometimes, and I have been vocal about my disagreement with Antifa's tactics. And they just continue to see things differently because it's their side. So if it were the other side doing these maneuvers that they do, silencing the opposition all the time, throwing smoke bombs into the King's College recently.
Right.
During a discussion in which the irony is they were talking about how they wanted to hear, I can't remember his name. You know, he's not a professor, is he? But the guy was talking, and Sargon was there too. Sargon of Akkad. I never know how to pronounce that.
Neither.
Anyway, Benjamin. He's there. Mr. Benjamin. And they're talking about the tactics of Antifa. And if they wanted to sit in on this conversation, they would allow, obviously they would let them do that. And they would love to have a conversation with them one-on-one. And then immediately at the end, like, not even at the end, because there wasn't an end, but they, like, they go in and they have the smoke bomb, they set off the alarm. The people were in the conversation, in the room at the same time. Like, there were some people who infiltrated.
Right.
Who were so obvious about it that, like, there were laughs in the beginning of the conversation. Like, oh, I guess these are the people. Okay, we're just supposed to ignore them now. And then they come on with their, like, bullhorns and everything. And they're, like, really obviously disrupting the conversation in which we're trying to find a bridge to some kind of common ground with these people.
Right.
And it just shows how fascist these tactics are. And they're not doing anything to help get rid of fascists.
Well,
because it's fascism versus fascism.
It's political idealism without any...
Or perceived
without any
fascism.
Smarts. You know, that's what's about Maxine Waters. Like, she is a very articulate person. She is obviously an intelligent person. She knows a lot about her job. But she's not a very smart person. You know, she's not in control of her intelligence in that way. And so when she comes up, I grew up in local politics, like city politics. And you got a lot of people who were like generational Mexican families coming where I come from. You know, so these guys didn't have a lot of education, but they know a lot about the city and they know a lot about politics and how to run a meeting and shit like that. So they're able to come up and like scream and yell about, you know, Mexica or whatever. But they come across as bullies. They don't come across as someone you want to sit down and talk to because they're yelling in your face all the time.
And that doesn't get anything done.
No, it
does
upset.
Not work. It makes them even louder.
Right,
the opposition will be louder and more
no.
upset.
Yeah, because what happens when people yell at you? I know what happens when people yell at me. I shut down. I wait till them to stop yelling. I don't even listen to what they're saying.
Exactly.
They stop talking and I'm like, okay, can you repeat all that in a normal voice? Because I didn't understand. And I wasn't listening to what you were saying because I don't like anybody yelling at me.
I'm sorry about the airplane. An airplane.
My ride. I'm sorry.
There's a thing happening.
He's circling till I get out.
It's Hollywood, guys.
But I think the way I look at it, kind of
it's really loud. Let's wait for it.
Well, it's okay. It's Hillary coming in with sniper fire.
She's like, I was supposed to bomb North Korea.
That's right. I was flying over there.
She actually was looking into nuclear proliferation. Nobody cares.
Well, I think she wanted to start a war with Russia.
Yeah, she really... Yeah. She was going to do some shit. Don't worry.
Well, it wasn't just her.
It's going to happen either way.
She was under orders from, you know, the progressive left to to stir up shit in the Middle East and Eastern Europe. And
well, Israel is behind all of that.
Well, and Israel hates her too. I mean, yeah. Whatever. I don't want to talk about her. But my point is that liberals now are getting to exercise all of the behavior that they used to see as bad, but under the guise of altruism, right? So they have racism and the discrimination of skin color happening with Trump. And it's funny because he's orange, right? But now they can call him the orange baboon. They can call him a Cheeto. They can make fun of his skin color. It's safe to do so, right? They can make fun of they could become the new McCarthyites, as we were saying. You know, mm-hmm. So instead of commies, it's Trump supporters. So they're able to exercise.
And also, when you say something bad about Antifa, you're just as bad. You're a fascist.
I know.
Like, I've been called a Nazi sympathizer.
Well, but you're on Twitter.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
But talking to people in public, a lot of them don't support that kind of. They don't look at extremism as any kind of result. Except when it comes to feminism, they're cool with that. But they're cool with calling all men scum and wanting to subjugate them. But they don't actually. A lot of the liberals I talk to don't believe in the Antifa antics because mm-hmm. they all think it's staged. And I believe that. I believe a lot of it's paid promotion. A lot of it is
I think some of it's brainwashing at this point as well. I mean, it started out staged, but I think there's a lot of brainwashing. I can say from experience from what I've seen.
No, I agree with you. And I think that's a lot of the social media, pushes people one way or the other, which is actually, I think it's a great thing that's happening because it's starting to put us in a hive mind.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to have going forward, especially when we realize we're not the only people in this universe.
Yeah.
We're going to have to act as one unit.